Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight is going to be a wonderful night. This is Carnita Smith from Mission from the Heart with Mission from the Heart Radio on KAskMedia.com Radio. We are going to have a blessed time in the Lord tonight. Again, this is Carnita Smith. I am your host for tonight. It is such a blessing to be able to be a vessel of God that He can work in and through me proclaiming the Word of God. We've got an amazing topic tonight, and I just want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for being a part of this program, or should I say thank you for being a part of this ministry, because I don't want this to be a program. This is ministry. We are trying to break the yokes that keep people in bondage concerning these topics that we have discussed over the past and over the last few ministry programs. And I tell you, they have been such a blessing to so many that have tuned in tonight and listened on the internet, called in tonight, and it is not by chance that you have tuned in tonight to be a part of this ministry. And I welcome you all for listening and just giving God an attentive ear to his word. So let's move forward in our mission tonight from the heart. And we will be talking tonight concerning a struggle that so many of us deal with from time to time. And our topic for tonight asks a question. And the question is, am I really critical-minded? And I tell you, this is something that so many people struggle with, including myself. I am not excluded from this area of struggle. Am I really critical-minded? Now, that's a question to ourselves. It's easy to point fingers, but when you're pointing one at somebody, you've got three other fingers on the hand pointing back at yourself. So this topic tonight focuses on ourselves and just looking at the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror tonight. Am I, not are we, or is he, or is she, but am I really critical-minded? And as we move through our topic tonight, looking at some verses that show us the man or the woman in the mirror. Now, our text for tonight is going to come from a passage, 1 Luke 15:28-31, and we're familiar with the story, but for those who note take or they're in a position to take notes, please don't hesitate, but please don't hesitate to take a note of Luke 15:28-31, and then Numbers 12:1-15. Now, before we just pounce right into those passages in the Bible, for those who are extremely hungry, like myself, of God's Word, I thirst after His Word. I hunger for His Word. I'm so quick to want to sift through the pages of the Bible and really dig in. But before we move in that direction, before we start planting seeds in the garden or in that fertile dirt, if you will, I want to define the word critical. And I believe it needs to be defined as this. And this is what it says in Webster Dictionary. And I'm real big on words, so critical is defined as a person who is given to severe and unfavorable criticism. Let me say that again. Critical is defined as a person who is given to severe and unfavorable criticism. Now, that's according to the Webster Dictionary. A person who is inclined to find fault now or to judge others severely is considered critical-minded. Now, I hope you heard the definition. A person who is inclined to other people severely is considered critical-minded, critical spirit, critical attitude. Severe and unfavorable criticism, fault-finding, and judging others severely. Now, those are some major points concerning this word, critical. Now, we all know people like that, and a lot of us are those people. Now, remember, we're looking at the man or the woman in the mirror. I do have to be careful here with this word criticism because it does have multiple meanings in the English language, but this is one thing I want to focus on tonight, and that is focusing on the person who nitpicks, the person who finds something wrong with almost everything. I'm sure we know some people like that. The person who assumes they know better and can do better, so they criticize what you know or you're doing. They find fault at what you know, how much you know, how little you know. They criticize that, how you do something. Your system is not as good as their system. They have a better idea for the way you're doing something. A critical-minded attitude breeds envy, jealousy, competitiveness. I heard it like this, and it may even be a song, but these are the words. I can do anything, you can do better than you. That is a competitive spirit. Someone that says, I can do anything you can do better than you. Critical-minded. Now think with me as we move forward in, am I really critical-minded? Now, this is a housekeeping, doing some cleanup work inside your soul. And for the sake of those who are listening tonight, who want to be a part of the host and share a verse or a scripture tonight, I just ask that you mute your phones for the purpose of background noise, for respect of those who are listening, and we are recording the program. So we want to try to keep our programs as clean as possible for those who may want to go back and listen to the program for study purposes again. If you will, mute your phones until I give you the okay to speak with the host for a share or a prayer or a verse. And this is the standard of our Mission from the Heart program tonight, so that everyone will be filled with the Word of God, they will be refreshed, they will be restored, and most of all, they will hear with intensity and want to be transformed. So let's move forward in our lesson. Again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart, and we are going over a topic concerning critical-minded, critical spirit, or critical attitude. Am I really critical-minded? Look at how you can identify if this is you. These are some things that you can look at as you stand in the mirror or as you look at yourself in thought. And you can see if these are some areas or some things that you can identify concerning yourself. Listen to this. They have an opinion about everything. Now, remember, when we identified the word or defined the word critical, it's a person who is given to severe and unfavorable criticism, a fault finder, or judge others severely. And this is how you identify if you are that type of a person. They have an opinion about everything. And some of us mask that opinion by saying, I'm just saying, so-and-so, yeah, but I'm just saying. So that's giving your opinion concerning something. They have an opinion about everything. Now, let me illustrate this for you concerning Scripture. And that's what I like to do. And I think we should be in the habit of lining up with what Scripture teaches us. And having an opinion about everything brings me to this illustration concerning Mary and Martha. Now, you remember, for those who read their Bibles, Mary and Martha were at home. And this comes out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And if you will, follow along with me concerning Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is what it says. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Now, this is Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him, Jesus that is, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, what I extract out of that passage concerning Martha's opinion. She chose to say, I'm just saying, but tell her to help me. I'm just saying, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Complaining. Tell her to help me. Her opinion is, I want her to help me. And Jesus answered her in saying, you're upset about the things that you shouldn't be upset about. You should be where she is. at my feet, listening, choosing what is better for her. And when we're critical-minded, we've made choices concerning yourself and not others. A critical-minded person always has an opinion about everything. Instead of flipping the script on that, if you will, and choosing the things that are good for you, you come off as a know-it-all, opinionated, and bossy. That's how Martha appears to me in this passage. Now, there's a lot of meat in this passage. Purpose of showing Martha's own opinion concerning where her sister was and where she was. She felt Mary should have been doing with what she was doing. And that is bossy. Why is she doing that? She should be doing with what I'm doing. She should be helping me, or he should be helping me, or they should be helping me. Bossy, opinionated, know-it-all attitude. Now, I hope you see this as something that you desire to want to correct in your life, in your thinking, in your ways, in your actions, in your speech. Let's look at another one. How you can identify if this is you. We just looked at they have an opinion about everything. Let's look at this one. They have an inflated estimation of their own abilities or knowledge. Don't we come off as that sometimes? We have an inflated estimation of our own abilities or knowledge. Oh, I can do anything you can do. I can do that better than you. Oh, I knew that. You didn't have to tell me that. I know that already. Look at this contrast in Scripture in Romans 12 and 3, chapter 12, verse 3. Romans. It reads like this in the NIV translation. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We've heard these verses, and I've heard this time and time again. Do not think more highly of yourself, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Let's look at it in a little different translation, one of my favorites, CEV, Contemporary English Version, and listen to what it says, Romans 12, verse 3. "I realize how kind God has been to me, and so I tell each of you not to think you are better than you really are. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith that God has given." I like that. I like that. Use good sense. Use good sense and measure yourself by the amount of faith God has given to you. Now, this is a person who has a inflated estimation of their own abilities. and knowledge. Do not think more highly of yourself. Romans 12:3, of yourself. You can outdo somebody. You know more than somebody else. Giving the appearance as if you are exalted in knowledge and ability. You can outrun your, that, again, it goes back to that competitive spirit, criticizing, outshining someone. My abilities and my knowledge will get me ahead of everybody else. Critical-minded. Look at this mirror. They have developed making people feel bad into an art form. Is that you? Do you make it a habit? Is that a way of life for you to make others feel bad, look bad, sound bad? Condescending conversation? Is that you? Talking down about someone or belittling them? Always having something negative to say? Grandparents and parents have taught us, if you can't say something nice, you know how it goes, then don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all. Condescending conversation, making people feel bad. Be quick to listen and slow to speak is what the scriptures teach us. We have two ears, one mouth. Why is that? To believe that God wanted us to do more listening to him and less talking. My father would always tell my oldest son, because my oldest son has the gift of gab, he's a talker, and he said, this was his quote, loose lips sink ships. And I like the way that. He would always tell my oldest son, your loose lips sink ships. And that is making people feel bad. Very opinionated. It's become an art form. It's become a way of life. Look at this contrast in the scriptures concerning this. Luke 6:41 speaks about it in this way. Make sure you take this note. Luke 6:41. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank or beam or tree trunk, if you will, in your own eye? I'm going to just put it plain. You're quick to talk about somebody else, but you won't even look at yourself. Now, that's just putting it plain and simple. Now, don't take that mirror down, because you need to look at yourself. Looking at the man or the woman in the mirror. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Wow. Making people feel bad, talking down, belittling them. This is a critical-minded person. Is that you? I keep asking that question. Okay, let's look at it this way. They often judge people's motives, which is something none of us ever in a position to do. Judging people's motives. Judging people's motives. We're not in this position to do that. Oh, let me give you an example. Let me just play role. Let me act this thing out. Oh, I know why she's doing that. I know why they're doing that. Or I know why he's doing that, because he wants to try to brown nose. He wants to get attention. When you're judging the motives of other people, do you do that? We should not judge. God is the judge. And the way we judge, we will be judged. Listen to this. They tend to be critics, not doers. Is that you? Criticizing? Critics? I don't know why they're doing it that way. If it was me, I would do it this way. Well, do it. But most of the time, critical-minded people don't do. They talk about how they could do, might do, but they don't do. They talk about people who are doing something, and they criticize about how they're doing it, because they don't do themselves. A program is running and operating smoothly, but they come in changing things. Why? Because they think it should be done this way. Now, there's nothing wrong with change. Don't get me wrong. But when you have a habit or a nature or a lifestyle, people know you as being extremely, severely critical. Severely criticizing. Always finding fault in the program. Can't see anything positive. Just always negative. That's a lonely life. And when we criticize, it breeds envy. It breeds jealousy. It breeds a competitive spirit. It breeds so many more things that cause stunting of growth. I want to look at this serious area that so many of us struggle with. We struggle with this issue, but we don't talk about it. We don't want anybody to address us about it, and we certainly don't want anybody to know that we're this way. But guess what? It's too late. People know that you're this way. You just don't know you're this way. And the reason why I ask the question, am I really critical-minded, it's to turn the focus off of someone else and place the focus on you. That's what the Bible teaches us from Genesis to Revelation. It teaches us about us. Let's take a moment. I want to take a moment to pray right now for someone who may just need a prayer of encouragement for this type of mindset, for this way of life. Somebody who wants to be released from the shackles that keep them in bondage concerning this area. Criticism, critical attitude. And if you will, pray with me that souls will be set free of this, that minds will be transformed from this, and that a newness of life will take place. pray with me right now. And this is a moment of prayer. This is a moment of tenderness. Somebody is listening tonight. Somebody out there needs to hear and know that God loves them enough to be made whole again. So for those of you who are listening, who want to be set free, just surrender your heart to God and allow him to clean you from the inside and create in you a clean heart, that your mind would not be conformed to the ways of the world or the ways of the flesh, but be transformed by a renewed mind. Let's pray. Pray with me, brothers and sisters who are listening tonight. Pray for someone that you know. Pray for someone that you may not know, but the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So let's pray. Lord God, we just exalt you right now in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Father God, with the fruit of our lips, with the pitter-patter of our hearts, Lord God. And we just come to you right now, interceding for someone, those out there that are listening, that needs to be set free of this stronghold in their life, Father God. You know the issues, the struggles that we deal with from day to day. You know in our own strength we cannot do this. Lord, we exalt you, we extend our hands to you, asking you with a whole heart, Father God, set us free of critical mindedness, a critical spirit, Lord. We know that this is not of you. Teach us how to turn from our wicked way, Father God, that we would extend our eyes and our hearts and our minds to you, that we would call upon the name of Jesus and be set free and walk in wholeness and newness of life. Lord, somebody is listening, and they need you right now, Lord. And you love them so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that if they would just call on the name of Jesus, that they will be set free. Father God, we come to you right now, praying together, building those up who struggle in the body of Christ with this spirit of criticism, this mindset of criticism, critical-minded, a critical attitude, a bad attitude. Just call it what it is. Father God, help them to confess it as sin. But those who may not know, Father God, reveal to them that they are walking in disobedience in this area. Free, Lord. Hear their feeble prayer, Father God. Stir in their heart a new way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. So if you prayed this with me or prayed with me for the interceding of others, or if you are one in need of prayer, rejoice in the Lord. Walk in his word. Hold to his faith. Grow in his word and know that you can do this in God's strength and God's strength alone, and believe that he will turn this around from a negative to a positive. That's what the scriptures teach us. Amen. Okay, we are going to continue in our program, and I want to rest right here for one moment and give those an opportunity who are listening tonight, give you an opportunity to just talk with me concerning this critical attitude or this critical mindset, maybe it was you that you want to share a testimony concerning your walk in this area, or a verse that will set somebody free, that will help them to grow in beauty concerning this dark set place in mind called critical, and be turned around or turned from this area. I open the phone lines tonight for those to want to speak with the host tonight. Again, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart concerning, am I really critical-minded? So let's help others be set free from this struggle, and please don't hesitate from calling in and just mute your phone or unmute your phone. This is an opportunity now to mission, to share, to minister to souls out there that need to hear from God through you. And we are God's vessels on this earth, that miracles will be working, people will be set free, lives be restored, relationships mended, and a new walk will take place. So please call now and let me know that you're there on the line with me, and I will acknowledge you at this time so we can talk about this. Let's talk about it. So if there's anyone, please unmute your phone and just speak up, and I will acknowledge you at this moment. Don't hesitate. Allow the word of God to go forth. Don't grieve the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to speak tonight, please allow God to be blessed by you being obedient in ministering the word of God to someone out there tonight across the World Wide Web who's listening to this program tonight, this ministry tonight. So, is there anyone who would like to speak at this moment?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am just blessed and excited to be amongst you tonight, and I thank God for your willingness and your obedience in calling in and wanting to share. Who am I speaking with tonight?
You're speaking to Deborah. Sister Deborah, how you doing?
Good evening, Deborah. It's nice to have you live on the program, Mission from the Heart. Go right ahead and share with us tonight.
Amen. I want to just a few words. I remember as I was coming up in school, and I always wondered, you know, I was always a loner, but once I started getting older, I began to hang out with young, older, you know, girlfriends, and they always had something critical to say about someone. And I remember one girl told me, "Oh, girl, you're skinny." You know, I was so humiliated. It hurt me to the very bottom of my soul. And because I was petite, and skinny and petite are two different things. And so I was like, you know, this girl don't know who she's talking to. The first thing that came to my mind. But what I want to hit on is right there. Just because you have a tongue and it's usable, quote unquote, you have to be careful with what you say to others, because you can bring, like I said once before, life or death to an individual. I was reading in the Bible earlier today. The Bible says there is no in Christ Jesus. And so I'm just touching bases on people condemning other people. It is so unfair. If you don't, I'm like you. If you don't, my grandmother told me the same thing. If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say a word. And sometimes I even catch myself today. If there's something that it really be touching me, you know, it's real, it's there. And I want to say something, but the Spirit of God said, peace be still and watch my salvation. You see, I can do it. I can say something and I can mess somebody up. But if God says something, if you walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh, then good things will come to you. And good things will come out of it. And even the person that you, that even if you don't say nothing and just listen, and sooner or later, have you ever had a person to say, you just stood there and listened to them just cut up, and then you walk away, and later on they come back and say, you know what, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. Would you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because the Spirit of God takes care of everything. He said he comes to save the world, not to condemn the world. And God says the battle doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him.
Amen. I like what you said, Deborah, when you said confess. Is that what you said, Deborah? Hello.
Okay, it was muted. It was muted, and I couldn't hear you. Therefore, there's no condemnation. No, mm-hmm. once God, if you let God fight the battle, then you don't have to say anything. God will get someone to come to you, and they will confess that they were wrong, and they were, you know, saying things in the wrong manner. That's
right.
All I was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that is a powerful point that, and I appreciate you sharing that, those points of power, because when we seek for forgiveness and with what we've said, it heals the wounds, not only who you've wounded, but for yourself. It sets you free. It sets you free. And I thank you so much for sharing that testimony and those words of encouragement, because it's so important for us to realize that the mouth can get us in so much trouble. But it takes shape in the mind. And our actions can be critical in our actions, our attitudes. We can roll our eyes. We can say things that are so cutting and hurting to people. And we have thoughts. And some of us struggle with just thinking critically in the mind and not even allow it to utter off our lips.
Right.
And what does the scriptures tell us? God teaches us and tells us and instructs us and just lets us know that he knows our thoughts before we even think them.
Yes.
He knows with what we're going to say before we say it. That's why a critical mind or attitude or spirit is not a blessing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for sharing. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment or share to help somebody that's listening tonight that wants to know more about what the scriptures say, or just know that it helped this person, this is what God did in their life, and I believe that it's going to help me too. Is
Amen.
There anyone else? Amen. And I hear a brother on the line. Who is this, may I ask?
You know who it is.
Well, who is this?
Yeah, this Pastor Ray. This Pastor Ray, Sister Smith.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Brother Ray. I really appreciate you calling. For the benefit of those who are listening, go right ahead.
Amen. This is a very, very good topic, and it's a convicting topic, and it's a wake-up call. Because it's so easy for us to...
Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, it's so easy to fall into this type of situation as I listen, because I can, you know, put myself in a situation of, you know, falling into being critical, you know, maybe talking about what Pastor so-and-so doing or ain't doing over here at his church and, you know, all those type of things. And as I read the topic for today, I just had got a few things that resonated in my spirit, you know, and that leads and tends to cause people to fall into a negative spirit when you're critical, because you become negative. You know, it also become messy, because it's a messy spirit. You're always calling across town, you know, with something, and it just comes to be a messy spirit, and it can be dangerous, because it can cause you to be isolated, because people don't want to be around people that's critical or messy or negative. And the word in Hebrews 10 and 25 speaks about not forsaking the assembly of fellowships with others, because sometimes you can get so critical and negative till you can extract yourself from other believers, and everything that runs in your mind is right and everybody else is wrong. So it can put you in a dangerous position. Amen. And then what I did to help me with that, being critical, you know, of everything and everybody, in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, the Amplified Version says, examine and test and evaluate your own self to see whether you are hoping to your faith, showing the proper fruits of it. Test prove yourself that you do yourself and realize and knowing thoroughly by every increasing experience, unless you are will be found counterfeit, disapproved, or on trial and rejected. So this was a very good topic, Sister Smith, and, you know, I find myself and have found myself to, you know, get pulled in that type of spirit, because sometimes it can be the company you keep. For the worst is bad communication corrupts good manners. So we have to be careful of the people that we link up to who pointing and out here messy stuff, negative, because we'll tend to take that on and we'll make fruit out of that if we let that rest in our spirit. So, you know, that's basically all I wanted to say on that. I mean, it's a very good topic. I enjoyed the topic tonight, and, wow. You know, it was a reality check for me as well, because, you know, humans, we can fall into it real easy if we don't keep ourselves in self-check and don't evaluate ourselves daily.
Amen. And thank you so much for sharing. So if for those who have shared on the line, could just mute your phones and as I prompt you to or others to share. Thank you so much, Brother Ray, for those powerful points that you had made mention as I was making notes from the sister who called earlier, Deborah, and you. I know you had made some major points concerning messiness, negative, bad company. This is dangerous. You become isolated. Those are very, very good points for those who are listening, for all of us to do some inventory or some house cleaning concerning our soul. And as I stated last Thursday, this is what makes up the human soul. If you don't remember anything, please remember this. The soul is made up of the mind, way we think, what we think, how we think, the mind, our emotions, which runs our feelings, and then our will to choose. Those three make up the human soul, the mind to think, the will to choose, and our emotions, which regulates our feelings. And when you become messy, you thought about it, it felt good to you, you carried it out concerning your ways, your lifestyle, your talk, your conversation, speaking negative about something or someone, never yourself, just others, bad company you keep, birds of a feather. We've heard that birds of a feather flock together. Guilty by association. You associate them, so we assume you're guilty. You're company. And then you become isolated. Nobody want to be around you. Oh, no, I'm not getting with them or her or him. They're too negative. I don't need them pulling me down in my spirit. I need somebody that stays positive. Forsake not the assembly of those. What is God trying to teach us? What is he trying to tell us? We need to be around good company. Those who are like-minded. Those who are living a lifestyle that, what? Exemplifies new life. Reality check. That's what this is supposed to do. Pierce the heart, the soul of a man or a woman. Am I really critical-minded? I need to check myself. Anybody else? Thank you, Brother Ray. Thank you, Sister Deborah, for calling in with those points of power. This is such an awesome time. Anyone else, before we move on, I want to give you an opportunity to have a share or a testimony or a verse that will heal the soul of somebody who's listening. We have thousands tonight that are listening on this program, and I tell you, this is a topic that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed, and you need to address it. So is there anybody else before I move on with the program? Please use this opportunity to speak up. Yes, who is this now?
Shirley.
Hi, Shelley. How are you? Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in tonight. Shirley, is there something that you want to share with us tonight for someone that may be struggling seriously about this area in their life concerning critical attitude or a critical mind?
It's just that we have to ask God to continue to guard our minds and our hearts. And before we say, we watch what we say out of our mouth. Because what we say out of our mouth might hurt someone very badly, and it can be taken back. Because I was in a situation like that when I was growing up as a child, being beaten and abused and talked down to very badly. And that would amount to be nothing, you know. And I'm like, okay, I'm a child, but I didn't. It still be with me sometimes, but only thing about that, God got my back, and I know I can do better, and he's helping me with that, and to get over that, what I've been through in my life by being critically criticized all my life, to when you get older in age, as you get older in age, it comes with you, and it takes God to help you to get back to where he wants you to be. And your mind to be on him. So when you meet somebody else, make sure you find somebody that's of the same mind and not critical, but somebody that's positive, because positive take you a long way in life.
Amen. So, and you are so right, Shirley. And I tell you, when you said what stood out to me in your testimony, you had indicated that you stayed positive, even though you were subjected to critical attitude and people telling you you're not going to be about anything or become anyone, and that can tear a person down, belittle them, and condescending talk, making them feel bad. We talked about that earlier in the program on how they make that a habit or an art form. And so, you know, it is hard for a person who has been subjected to that type of behavior. And so, yes, it is a fight for us to stay Christ-minded or positive-minded concerning ourselves and knowing that I am an overcomer. I am somebody. I do not have to be treated by this person like that. And I just want to say thank you, Shirley, for calling in tonight and sharing your testimony concerning being treated with a by others who brought that on you, and you did not take that way of life as a way of life for you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for thank you for sharing tonight. We're going to move on. We only have about three more minutes to the program, and I just want to indicate from Luke 15, verses 28 and 31, I indicated that the prodigal son's brother, I didn't indicate, but the verses explain that the prodigal son's brother took on a critical attitude. We know the story. The brother took his inheritance, went off, squandered it, and the brother was home with dad, with the father. And when the son came back, we know the story. The story tells us that the brother became angry in verse 28. He was very angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him, and answering and said to his father, "Many years I have served you. I have not sinned, and at any time I've obeyed you, and you have not given me a young goat or allowed my friends to come and have a big party for me." That's jealousy. The brother that stayed with the father. And the father had to remind him what he had. But the son went there in his thoughts. He became critical toward his daddy concerning what his daddy did for his brother. Now, that's just one story in passage. But here in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, it talks about how Miriam and Aaron talked behind Moses' back. Write the verses down, and you can read them in detail in your own study time, but that was Luke 15, verse 28 through 31, and Numbers 12, 1 through 15. They talked about Moses, and we know the story. Miriam was stricken with leprosy. Leprosy. Hold your mouth. This is the cure, and this will finalize our program tonight, but it's so good. But the cure for a critical spirit, and we talked about it through those that called in, admit you have a problem with that area. Just admit it. Confess it as sin to the Lord. Ask those you've hurt to forgive you. Deborah indicated that tonight. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you a new spirit, a constructive spirit, not a critical spirit. These are the things that will help you turn from that way. Admit, confess, ask for forgiveness, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a new spirit. That's salvation. Admit that you're a sinner. Confess your sins as sin. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you, and believe by faith and know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's salvation. Well, I tell you, this has been a blessed time tonight. It has come up on the 9 o'clock hour, and that closes out another awesome and beautiful Mission from the Heart radio program, internet radio program on kaskmedia.com. And I just want to pray this prayer in Numbers 6, verses 24 and 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and forgive you and give you his peace. We will meet again on Mission from the Heart, April 24th at the 8 o'clock hour, and we will have another awesome time in the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to mission from my heart concerning, am I really critical-minded? This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part, and I hope to hear from you on the 24th of April. Good night, and God bless.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and
yes, sir,
to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their also freely give us all things. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us.
Hello?
Yes. Dr.
Yes.
Hunter?
Yes,
oh, ma'am. I'm just still on the line listening to the scriptures.
Okay.
That was all.
7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect for them, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, or the margin read. Surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed. Galatians 3:13-14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 9:11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:7. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 65:22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew 4:23-24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:5-10, and then 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew 8:14-17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left. She arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 9:20-21-22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sin and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over it, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with him those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning this one. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coach. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, as it all thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things, many diseases, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master in his presence? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He said unto her, For this sake, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, to the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they focused in, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithful servant, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried, and he fell on the ground and walked. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since the waters to destroy him? But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou not unbelieve. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast it out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up far to read. And there was delivered unto him the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled your ears. Then Luke the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. They were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and to come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and he was them. And demons also came out of many, cried out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored, the whole and the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th. And he came down with him and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him, and Genesis 11 through 7. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her. And immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. And then therefore cometh he healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue in Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him alive, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, but the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole the same Sabbath, take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they, What man is man, which said unto thee, Take up thy bed? And he that was healed wished not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, both who being in that place. And Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth through sin. This man or his parents that he was born by. Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, the night, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and watched, and came, seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 1, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundant. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word, signs followed. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, Iconium, in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, he shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and go up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, glory to God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16-23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will get in you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in mine. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out them. These are people who know. These are things of truth. And if they think it is anything, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Watch everything you'll ask, in my name, that will I do. And the Father that glorified the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive some. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondered. And when Peter saw him, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? And so by our holiness, we have made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. He denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto him, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest by the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even night. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the bar that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to him. And when they sent through the bit, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what deed he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, ye crucified, whom God raised to the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you holy. This is the one that said it all in the person, which has become the head of the temple. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter's God, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they mocked, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred and they said, say, what shall we do with it? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us daily threat that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and now, Lord, behold, therefore, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that two of you shall agree, or if they touch anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22-26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt this heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19-21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, your children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. On the margin read, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast your profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel 3:10. That the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he is sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursed vexation and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, but they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be fire. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the box of Egypt, with the emerald, with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore spot that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonished proverb and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out on the field, so gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joy and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring the nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, but shall not regard the first of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee in the corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God has given thee, in the seeds, and in the strength, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall eat. So that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, which he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the seed, and in the strength, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one cometh out from between her feet, toward her children, which she shall bear, or she shall eat them, for want of all things secret be of the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which I was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness, and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And he shall be left few in number, whereas he wears the stars of heaven upon thee, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. He shall be plucked off the land where thou goest to possess. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Among these nations shall thou find no meat. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake. Thou shalt see it no more again. He shall be sold unto your enemies, for bondsmen and bondwomen, but no man shall buy you. Now then, I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and reading the whole chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, same of the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serving the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all other sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. There are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name the sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness and specify the sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from that. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then, at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness.
For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484. Or visit our website at www.brainless.org. Or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Canada writes, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station B, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9K4F3.